Mr. O'Sullivan, Reel 3. So you were telling me about the food you had there.
It was just cheese or whatever we found inside the house. I mean, you could boil an egg.
How hungry were you?
Well, I mean, we hadn't had any food for a couple of days because we were moving around all over the place. But we managed to go into people's houses because a lot of people had run away from the villages and left all food them in, so we collected our food as we went along. Which was like from Belgium when we were in Brussels. There were some magnificent hot houses there full of grapes, the marvellous big blue grapes. But we loaded the wagons up and things up with bunches and bunches of grapes, so we had grapes for day in and day out when we were in Belgium.
What did you drink when you were cut off?
Water. Couldn't make anything. We just drank water out the tap.
Were there any bottles of things in the houses?
No, didn't see any bottles in there, no. Besides, that was another thing. You were warned about washing. Because there was some scare of the washing, that where the tablets of soap where the Germans used to leave them in all the different houses had a little tiny mine fixed in the bottom of it. So if you picked the soap up, it would blow your hand off. They had all sorts of... I mean, they were as clever as us, put it that way. In all the things that they'd done, they were as clever as us.
Do you remember the names of any of the other five who were with you?
No, I don't really know. They come from different... Because we were all supposed to have gone over there to get the command down, but by the time you turn round, the order was given, prepare to move and evacuate, because of this mob coming down the road, which was so quick.
Which mob?
The Germans coming down out the forest. So you just scattered. So I made my way over the bridge lot with a radio, with a telephone and the wire, and that was the end of it. That is Arnhem. And then, of course, we had to wait down before we were all evacuated from the big barrages. So it was all trapped down there. Everybody didn't know anything.
So you say you saw the Germans in the streets?
Yes, when we were in the houses of the daytime, because we were upstairs. See, remember that they had already been in the houses and searched them. They were there. So therefore, if you got into a house and you was lucky, and they came in, then that was it. They didn't come in no more. They just went past the bottom of the street door. Because they knew there was nobody in there. Because they were at one end, and we were at the other end. They were as frightened as what we were as frightened.
Do you know the name of this place, where you were in the house?
No, I wish I could have found that, but it was so, you know, it was the same with the signposts. All I can remember, the signpost going up all the way from Normandy, is up to Thury Hardcourt, and Falaise, and Carpique, and Arnhem. But I can't remember any villages or things like that. I mean, I came across a village where the church roof was blown to pieces, and it had been raining all night long and everything else. And I just strolled into the church, and being a Roman Catholic, I picked all the cassock and cotters up off the floor where they'd been lying in the rain, and the priest's hat. And the thing that annoyed me more was that whether it was them or whether it was us, somebody had took all the stones out of the chalices and the crucifix on the altar, prized them all out. And these are things what the church was, all the roof was smashed and gone. But I say, these are things, you know. When I looked in there and saw all the clothes all over the floor, all the walls, the church is down, and probably the people will know that the church was it, or wherever it was. All the stones were taken, the precious stones were taken out of the chalice and the crucifix.
So, coming back to when you were near Eindhoven, you say you were cut off for 3 days?
Mm. Yeah, 3 days.
But you weren't in that house all the time.
No, because we had to move, didn't we? See, there was Red Devils and all the kind of thing up there, the parachutists. Well, everybody disappeared by daylight. Because it was... If he went out, it was a lot. Because Germans are good snipers. And they can stand still for hours. And I mean hours, without moving. And if you could always tell if you went out, or if you saw anything, you could always tell where there were snipers, because they hit the temple. And all you get is a little tiny trickle of blood. And when you turn the person over, then you can understand that there's snipers in the area. And they were the dead shot dicks of the mob. Snipers.
So you said you weren't in the house all the time?
No.
Where did you move to?
Into the garden. In sheds in the garden. By day we used to go out round the back into the garden. We only used to come back in the house for shelter of a night time. So you had to be very careful. See, you're taught in the British Army, a lot of people don't understand why in the British Army you're made to crawl rather than walk in a forest. Now, the simple reason that was what taught to us all the time was that if you walk, your boots crack twigs and break twigs. Crack. Whereas if you crawl, you don't make a noise. That's why you see a tremendous amount of pictures of film, what these children don't understand, is why you are crawling. Because you walk in the forest yourself, or in the woods and tread on a little twig, it makes hell of a crack. And people are listening for that all the time. That's why you're we was all taught to crawl.
So you went between the garden shed and the house?
Over daytime, yeah. Night time, we used to go back in the house. Then 3 days after that, then for some unknown reason, it all quietened down. We came back and joined our own mob again. Came back over, back into Eindhoven.
How did you come to be wounded?
What?
How did you come to be wounded?
Shells through the... Right through being bandy.
What, did that happen in the...
Through there.
In the groin?
Yeah, in the groin, yeah.
Did that happen in the 3 days?
You were no, out there? After the 3 days, coming back to our own lines. Yeah. After 3 days.
Can you describe exactly how it happened?
You never hear the one that's going to hit you. Nobody does. Even if it's a rifle. A bullet, a shell, a bomb. You never hear it.
So it was a splinter?
Probably, yeah, a shrapnel splinter. But I say you never hear it. Never hear it.
What were you doing at the time?
Putting up a bivvy. Putting up a bivvyak. Putting up a tent for to sleep for the night.
And so this was a German shell?
Don't know. Because they're all the same and they're all cast iron. Both ours and theirs.
So 1 minute you were putting up the tent and the
next minute I was on the floor. Yeah, next minute I was on the floor. Won't be picked up by the orderlies.
Were you conscious when you were hit?
Yes. Because I can remember them doing me up there, then taking me... See, we had field ambulances and field tents where they had doctors.
How long after the 3 days that you were cut off did this happen?
Oh, I can't remember.
Was it quick soon after or a long time after?
I've been down there to try and trace my traps, and I can't trace myself right away back to Arnhem.
When you were hit, was it agonising pain, or did you feel nothing?
No, felt nothing. Not until they'd done the first clean-up of me in the operating tent on the way back to Brussels.
Were any of your comrades hit at the same time?
I don't know. I don't ever saw them. Not as far as I know. Not in my surrounding area. Yeah.
How long were you left before somebody saw to you?
Seconds. Because I had my own medicals with me.
What did they do? Put a field dressing on?
Oh, yeah. Dress all up. Then they said it was too bad, like, you know. And they said you're going back to the first field operation.
So you said you didn't feel any pain?
No.
But what
afterward
did you feel?
I did.
Just shot.
I didn't feel anything. And he just only knew that all my trousers was torn and there was all blood in the middle of my legs.
What did you think of the medical treatment that you...
Very, very good. Those doctor surgeons of the army worked 24 hours a day. Marvellous. See, there again, of course, discipline comes in with doctors, the same that it comes in with ordinary people. And they were there, didn't make the difference what they were doing, they were attending one and then somebody else would attend you, and they was operating on you. They was operating on people in them field tents before they took you back to hospital. And they made sure you was as best possible care you had.
Did you get most of the treatment in Belgium?
Oh,
or,
yeah,
or in Britain?
Well, treatment was good in either place. Treatment was good in either place. Yeah.
Were you disabled as a result of the injuries, or did you make a full recovery?
No, I'm graded C3. That would mean you can't walk very far. Yeah, can't walk very far.
Where were you treated in England?
I flew home on a Dakota to Swindon. Then I went from Swindon by train, by railway train, hospital train to Birmingham. And I was in hospital in Birmingham, a place, if I think rightly, was a place called Trenton, if I can remember this, it was Trenton Bridge. But now, what was the hospital? It was a military hospital. There was lots of casualties in there, because the fellow in the bed next bed to me was a bloke named Johnny. He had come back because he had had a bullet go through the eye. And they were operating on him, I think about 3 days afterwards, when he first landed there, to see what they could do to try and save it. But eventually they couldn't save it. And he was in the next bed to me, and he... It was in a hospital at Trenton Bridge, I think, or Trenton Bridge was a recuperation centre. But the hospital there, I can't remember, it was in Birmingham somewhere. That was where I went to. Then from there I went to Trenton. And then after recuperation and everything in Trenton, I went to a place called Ashton-under-Lyne. And now I got demobbed from Ashton-under-Lyne.
So that was the end of your soldiering, wasn't
it? That's it, yeah. I'd done 6 years and 6 months. Yeah.
How do you feel today about having taken part in Normandy and Arnhem and so on?
With regard to what? Are you proud that you took part? What, with regard to my country as it is today?
The fact that you had to go through it all.
I didn't realise that my country would finish up as it is today. I'm not being funny or personal, but remember, we fought for 8 and an hour, 7 and 6 a week. Have a look at my country today. It's unbelievable. Now, you're asking me a question. Now then, I can either say, I enjoyed the services, I enjoyed the powers I was with in the services. I didn't enjoy having to kill people and things like that, which I didn't do. But I had to be in my country, then I did it. But now I've come back, and I've been down to the beaches and been down to the war graves, and I keep informed with all them. It's an unfortunate thing that the boys who were with me were 19 to 20, 21 and all that. Now, if you go down and see them all lying under the ground, and you come back and see where they, what is happening today, it's very disheartening. I'm sorry to have to say that. It's terrible.